Well, good morning to you all. It's good to be with you on this lovely sunny day again. I've made myself a promise this morning to try desperately not to doze off during this sermon, purely because Marjorie and I have just spent 3 days in our caravan with two of our grandchildren, and we're feeling the effects of that. But it was really wonderful to spend that time with them and share things with them and do things with them and find out what they were thinking and all that sort of thing. So it was a really wonderful time. So here we go. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book of Jonah and for all that it means. And we ask now, as we come to this last passage from it, that you will open it up to us and help us to use it in our lives as we live them for your glory. Amen. Well, until a couple of weeks ago, we were studying the book of Joshua, and we saw how he obeyed God's instructions to the letter, and how he conquered Jericho and many other places in the Promised Land. And because he obeyed God's directions, he ruled the land for many years, and we saw how his actions and obedience helped God take the Israelites forward in their lives. But as we continue today with our series about another Old Testament person whose name begins with J, we see a wholly different attitude to God's instructions from Jonah. Maybe it's me, but I think that many of the characters in the Old Testament are almost too good to be true. We can feel, or at least I can anyway, feel daunted by the depth of their devotion and commitment. But not, as we've seen, of Jonah. For when it comes to Jonah, it's a different story. And I think one of the great appeals of this short book is the raw humanity of the reluctant prophet. A man perhaps with all the enduring qualities of our modern-day Victor Meldrew. Irascible, short-sighted, petulant. He's just about the last person you would expect God to call into his service. His faults, if only he could see them, equally as great as those he was called to preach to. And that's the beauty of this tale, for it vividly portrays God's amazing grace in action. No one in this narrative remotely deserves his blessing, yet all end up receiving it. For me, this story is a wonderful way in which the Bible records people's relationships with God, warts and all. For in this reading from Jonah, we find the prophet sulking, angry, and resentful that the enemies of his own people should be let off, total annihilation, which he considers they deserve. He almost spits out the word to God, quoting from the Psalms he knows and finding God's qualities of compassion and gracious understanding in the present circumstances exceedingly irritating, even to the point of moaning about a small worm eating the bush under which he was sheltering. Well, I think we've all done it, haven't we? We've all been there. We all know how righteous indignation makes us boil over, and we take it out on someone who we know and deep down whom we can trust. Yet God doesn't come rushing out defending himself against Jonah's attack, because he can see where his prophet is coming from. And he loves this angry ball of resentment just as much as ever. He gives him time, a little comfort, and a little experience which enables him to see things from God's perspective. So let's just spend a short time summarizing these verses from today's reading. First, we ask, why did Jonah become angry when God spared Nineveh? Well, we know from reading other Old Testament books that the Jews did not always share God's message with Gentile nations in Jonah's day. And in the New Testament, We see they resisted the role in Paul's day. And it even happens today, in today's world. They had forgotten their original purpose as a nation, to be a blessing to the rest of the world by sharing God's message with other nations. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Jonah's narrow-minded thoughts were that God should not freely give his salvation to a pagan nation. Yet this is exactly what God does for all who come to him today in faith. We saw in chapter 1, verse 3, Jonah revealing his reasons for reluctance to go to Nineveh. He didn't want the Ninevites forgiven. He wanted them destroyed. What Jonah did not seem to understand was that the God of Israel is also the God of the whole world. Are we surprised when some unlikely person turns to God? Is it possible that our view is as narrow as Jonah's? Well, we've seen in this series that Jonah had run from the job of delivering God's message of destruction to Nineveh. And then he wanted to die because the destruction wouldn't happen. How quickly Jonah had forgotten God's mercy for him when he was in the fish. Jonah was happy when God saved him, but angry when Nineveh was saved. But Jonah was learning, like we should, a valuable lesson about God's mercy and forgiveness. God's forgiveness was not only for Jonah or for Israel alone, but it was to extend to all who repented and believed. And as we see in today's reading, Jonah even got angry at the withering of the vine, but not over what could have happened to Nineveh. Most of us have cried, perhaps at the death of a pet or when an object with sentimental value is broken. But do we cry over the fact that people around us do not know God? How easy it is to be more sensitive to our own interests than the spiritual needs of the people around us. Sometimes people wish that judgment and destruction would come upon a sinful people whose wickedness seems to demand immediate punishment. But we see from these verses, God is more merciful than we can imagine. God feels compassion for the sinners he wanted judged. He devises plans to bring them to himself. Do they wish they could experience God's mercy and forgiveness? Well, we've seen how God spared the sailors when they pleaded for mercy. How God saved Jonah when he prayed from inside the fish. And how God saved the people of Nineveh when they responded to Jonah's preaching. From this, we can begin to understand that God answers the prayers of all those who call on him. That God will always work his will, and he desires that all should come to him and trust him and be saved. We can be saved if we heed God's warnings, his warnings to us through his word, and that if we respond to him in obedience, God will be gracious and we will receive his mercy, not his punishment. I think the point that Jonah completely missed, and that perhaps that we have also often forget, is that God does not only love and care for those we think he ought to, he doesn't share our lines of demarcation, which label some, usually including ourselves, who are deserving, and who are those who are decidedly not. This has always brought anger God's way, and of course it happened when Jesus started living it out in practice, much to the annoyance of religious leaders who thought they knew better than how a prophet ought to behave and with whom he could spend his time. And I think as we've read Jonah and perhaps come to understand this book better, we begin to see the full picture of God's love and compassion and realise that no one is beyond redemption. And we learn from the story of this reluctant prophet that we must obey God, doing whatever he asks and going wherever he leads. And I think that perhaps there are four points we can pick up from this story. Firstly, there is God's sovereignty. Although Jonah tried to run away from God, we see that God was in control. By controlling the stormy seas and a great fish, God displayed an absolute guidance. His absolute and loving guidance. And the importance of this is that rather than running from God, we should trust him with our past, present, and future. Saying no to God quickly leads to disaster. Saying yes brings a new understanding of God and his purpose for the world. And next, this passage highlights that God's message is a message to the entire world. God had given Jonah a purpose to preach to the great Assyrian city of Nineveh. Jonah hated Nineveh, so he responded with anger and indifference. Jonah had yet to learn that God loves all people. And through Jonah, God reminded Israel of their new missionary purpose. And this should show us that it's vital not to limit our focus to our own people, but to understand that God wants us to proclaim his love in words and actions to the whole world. He wants us to be his missionaries wherever we are, whatever we do, and wherever he sends us. And repentance, I think, is another issue in this chapter. For when the reluctant preacher went to Nineveh, there was a great response. The people repented and turned to God. This was a powerful rebuke to Israel, who thought themselves better and yet refused to respond to God's message. And it points out that God will forgive all those who turn from their sins. And this shows us that God doesn't honour sham or pretense. He wants the sincere devotion of each person. It's not enough to share the privilege of Christianity. We must ask God to forgive us and remove our sin. Refusing to repent is the same as loving our sin. And lastly, I think this shows us that there is God's compassion. We note that God's message of love and forgiveness was not just for the Jews alone. God loves all the people of the world. The Assyrians didn't deserve it, but God spared them when they repented. God did not reject Jonah for aborting his mission, but showed us he has great love, patience, and forgiveness. And I think it's important to understand that God loves each one of us, even when we fail him. But he also loves other people, including those not of our group, background, race, or denomination. When we accept his love, we must also learn to accept all those others whom he loves. And we will find it much easier to love others when we love God. So let me start to draw this to a close by asking the question, what makes us sulk or get angry? It's usually when we feel hard done by, as if we've been unfairly treated, been given a raw deal. And that, I think, is how Jonah felt. He didn't think his enemies should be let off. Why on earth would God want to take pity on a city of pagans? He even got Jonah to tell them to sort out their lives. And an annoying thing for Jonah was that they listened and change their ways. But the last thing for Jonah was forgiveness for them. He didn't want that, so he sulked. And in our second reading today from Matthew chapter 20, we come across a similar situation. Time and time again in his teaching, Jesus tries to help us grasp something of the nature of God's loving, which is so much wider and more far-reaching than we seem to understand. And in this parable of the hired workmen is a case in point. The first lot are happy to agree a day's wage, but they cannot cope when the employer being generous to those who started with the employer being generous to those who started work towards the end of the day. They see the arrangement as a raw deal for themselves, and they resent it. If our basis for reckoning in life is simply what we're worth on an hourly rate, then the longest working labourers have a point. In our story today, God helps Jonah understand this with the help of a nice olive plant which grows up to shade him, and shade him one day and dies away the next. And we see that Jonah is fond of this plant and sad when it is destroyed. Just like Jonah and the plant, only more so, God loved the people of Nineveh and doesn't want them destroyed. So he saves them with Jonah's reluctant help. In Jesus' story from Matthew, the owner helps the workmen to understand why they are sulking. He asks them, "Are you jealous because I am good to these people as well?" The owner is looking at it quite differently, and he sees the needs of all men in the marketplace, just as God sees all people with their needs and is concerned to provide for them. Whenever we respond to God's generosity, however much of a surprise it is in view of our perceived suitability of the recipient, we have no right to question or quibble, but should be rejoicing with the angels at the amazing love of God. So as we come to the end of this story about Jonah, let's take away the full picture of God's love and compassion and realise that no one is beyond redemption. The gospel is for all who will repent and believe. And let us, as we go, begin to pray earnestly for those who seem furthest from the kingdom, and look for new and inspiring ways to tell them about God. Let us learn from this story of the reluctant prophet and be determined to obey God, doing whatever he asks, going wherever he leads, so that all may know his love and compassion. Let us pray. Father God, as we take with us these words and actions from the story of Jonah, help us to recognise that your grace is greater than we can ever begin to imagine. And may we rejoice in the wonder of your love, which embraces all. Amen.